Here, you probably passed about 20 of them on the way here in San Antonio, but you drove to this one. We're so blessed that you're here and honored that you're here. Please fill out a connection card. There's gifts right in the back at the Welcome Center, and get a free gift for us today. Make sure you avail yourself to our great photo op at the Christmas. Wasn't that spectacular? Isn't it great what they're doing out there? Yeah, you can take some good selfies if you could, or just get, I don't know if they are taking pictures. I haven't been back there in that corner. And yes, they are taking some, so they'll be there for you today. Amen. So it's a great day for a couple. Hey, I want to shout out to our worship minister, Chuck Weimer, and Jamie. It's her 22nd anniversary today. Yeah. There they are. And Chuck's outside. He's going to get back in here. Go ahead and push on him when he walks back in. Amen. He's just running a little bit late, so he's going to come back in. And so 22 years, I asked Chuck, where did it all go? And he said, man, it all went right here. And so I don't know what he meant by that, but because he hasn't been in church that long. But amen, we're glad to have him. I didn't know what he knew, what he was thinking. Amen. But if you could check in on your social media device, you know, your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram. There's a thing that pops up. It says Living Faith, San Antonio, right on Marbach, and that's us. So check in and don't check out right now. Right? Is that good? Yeah. And then just thank God. There's good things happening. And welcome our social media, welcome our online audience. Come on, give them a big hand. Welcome. If you would duplicate the message, even if you're watching online right now, you can share that message on Facebook. It can go to your loved ones. It can be a Merry Christmas to them, because it's all about Jesus today. If you're here at Living Faith Church, share the message. Multiply the message. There's no better way to witness for Jesus and be the light of God than on your social media device. Go ahead and do that for the first time. You'll never go back. Amen? Amen. Finally, one more thing before we read our opening verse today and pray. The legacy offering is today. We've gathered together for about 3 weeks, and I've told you about what we're doing as a congregation. We thank God for it today, and that's when we collectively come together. And above and beyond our tithe, we give a legacy offering. A legacy offering outlives us because of what it's doing. We believe in church planting. Last year we did that. We helped plant a church in Katy, Texas, stateside. We did a city offering in our community. We did that at John Jay with the Bible Club. And then we did a world mission offering with the World Missions Printed Press that prints gospel literature in every language. And we reached out. So we're doing that again this year because God's been so good to us as a people. How could we not repeat something that God's been good to us? Amen? Amen. So pray about what you're doing, and that'll be a blessing as you come at the end of our service and participate in the legacy offering along with your tithe and offering today. Amen. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen? Amen. Do you have your message notes handy? Online audience, you're going to get them dropped down right now. They should be right there. But if you need them here in the audience, raise your hand high. We'll get somebody to get those to you. A couple of men, a couple of our ushers are there. And if we were in Louisiana, they'd say ushers. Back at Victory Chapel, we wouldn't say that. We didn't know what they were, but they're good men and they help us out. Home Alone is a great movie. Did you know back in 1990 when it was produced, it was it was like an $18 million budget. And that's maybe a lot of money to us, but do you know in Hollywood it's not? It's very low. And so it's made almost a half a million gross on what it's done in the opening day. Not only that, it's probably produced probably billions of dollars after people bought it and went on beyond the box office. And it's done 4 sequels. Some were made for TV and 2 were made for the movies. And so it became a blockbuster hit. The thing about it was the first time that they used a child star to base a whole movie about it. In modern times, they did Shirley Temple back in the day. Some of y'all don't even know who Shirley Temple is, but they did Macaulay Culkin was this child young actor. They said, let's do a movie when he's just the star of it. And so it begins to speak of really what holiday seasons and what we go through with the blues sometimes. There's some unpleasant realities during the holidays. How many recognize that? Amen. Sometimes there's loneliness. Sometimes there's someone that's not going to be at the table. We need to adjust to those type of settings in our lives today. And so at family gatherings, there's sometimes tension that happens, and there's sometimes grief and that sort of thing, and sadness and despair. When you think, well, it should be a time of joy and celebration, for a lot of people it's not, though, because of the reality, and so it doesn't exist for many people. And so I don't want you to be home alone today. Amen. I want you to find the Christ of Christmas that presents himself to you and helps you today. And where you're at in life, you may have gone through some heartbreak, maybe come out of a sickness or in a sickness right now. God can still visit you today. God can still help you today. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and 4, on the screen, or you can look it up on your devices today, it says this: in the beginning was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. And in him was the life, and the life was the light of all men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Would we pray? Lord, I forgot to lift up Michael Montgomery to you corporately as a church. And so we're praying for Michael Montgomery along with the others that aren't here, Lord Howard and Dreama, God. Would you touch Michael? Would you heal him, God, of pneumonia? Just bless him, Lord. And we pray right now, God, that you would bless the hearers, God, that the Christ of Christmas would come into hearts to reside, that he would make his home in our hearts today, even in a greater way, he would take over, that he would be the light right now and show us out of darkness today. And then he would give us new beginnings, God, in the name of Jesus, over and over today. We thank you and we say praise God together. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Yes, amen. Amen. The verses that we just read, that's God's view of Christmas, that God with flesh would come and have skin on, and he would come and visit our neighborhood. He would come and move right next door. He would come and move right into your house. Come and move right into your heart today. And the Word became flesh. And the Word became among us, and it walked among us. And thank God that we didn't recognize this Jesus that was so far off that we couldn't touch him. And he became very human and blessed us and helped us today. And thank God for it today. The movie Home Alone, Kevin becomes very frustrated, to the point when he's getting disciplined upstairs in the attic bedroom, and he gets pushed away because all the relatives that are going to fly out to Paris in the morning and go away for their vacation. He said, I wish my family wasn't here. Remember who he made that wish? And be careful what you wish for, because it could happen. And then if God answers your prayers, what are you going to do? So he wakes up in the morning and he thinks his family's gone and they just missed him. They left him home alone. It's kind of funny. And how does he begin to live? Well, he parties down. He gets to make that big ice cream float thing or sundae thing, and it just dripping full. And he gets to order the pizza, and the pizza man puts on a film. He goes, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, or something. Keep the change. Remember that? And he shoots up. And it's one of the funniest scenes, right? One of my best lines right there. So, Kevin, though, be careful what you wish for, begins to realize, man, I need my family back, like it showed in the opening video right there. He said, I want them back. It's just what Christmas is all about, to be with people, to be among people. And it's a lonely time for him, and he realizes that, and he begins to pursue. I want you to pursue God the same way of wanting God in your life, of wanting fellowship in your life with other believers, of wanting reunion again with God. Pursue God. We call it running after God. God can get caught by you. You can catch up to God, but you have to pursue him. So let's chase the Lord today. Amen. Because God has a journey, and we want to be right after him and go after him today. Amen. And so thank God that we're in the active roll call right now. And God, are we here? And we're saying, yes, we're here. Amen. And so the first principle really about Christ and why he left his home today and the message of Christmas is this: Christ left his home so we wouldn't have to be home alone ever again today. Well, I'm single in this room. I got you there, preacher. No, Christ is in your home today. Your heart is your home, right? Amen. And that's going to live for eternity. The scenes again of him being independent and doing the things, and he goes to the grocery store, and that cashier says, you know, she kind of thinks, is this kid alone? And so she begins to ask him questions, and then he finally says, well, where do you live? And the cashier tells him, he says, I can't tell you that. He says, why? Because you're a stranger. And so he begins to miss his family. Jesus left heaven to come to earth. And he had all the royalties. He was the prince of heaven, the hero of heaven. And on earth, he lived a sinful life, something that we can't do in this room today. He died a sacrificial death for all of us in this room today. And he rose again that we don't have to experience loneliness. And he rose again that we can overcome depression. He rose again that we can be healed of any disease today. Amen. And so in the beginning was God, and God was with God, and the Word was with God, and He was God in the beginning today. In Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verse 14, you haven't had any fun yet. You've been talking, and that's good. You can talk back like Chuck kind of coached you on. Isaiah 4, 7, 14, out loud, not out strong on three. Are you ready? On the internet, you read it out loud too. Amen. I'm hearing you right now, so shout back to the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive. You will call Him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us today. Why don't you turn towards your neighbor and say, God is with us. Hey, second choice. Somebody didn't do it. Hey, second choice. Go. God, it looks, brother, you need to tell that brother that you second. Brother, it looks like God needs to be with you. Y'all ain't going to do anything I tell you to do anyway. Amen. God is going to be with you in any time that you, in the temptation that you're facing this week, God will be with you. In the day of judgment, in that lonely time, God will be with you. In that point where you get bad news, if you haven't got in that trial, God in the valley, God will be with you. God, Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. In the 13th century, a German king named Frederick II, he did this diabolical experiment. 1800s, he got babies that were newly born from mothers, and he took them because he was the king and he could do that. And he put them in a nursery, and he told the nurses, he said, I want to prove something about language, and I know that these babies, when they grow up, will speak German. And so what I want you to do, nurses, is not speak to them. You feed them. You don't caress them. You don't give them cariño. You don't give them any love. You don't tell them anything. You just feed them and keep them alive. Don't speak to them. If you're going to speak, walk outside and talk to each other. But don't speak to these babies. And so what happens was they had to cut the experiment short because the babies never grew up. Yeah, they began to die. They did get fed. They were given nutrition. They were given the bottle and so forth. But they died. They died because there was no human contact. They died because there was nobody that gave them love or expressed love to them or spoke over them words of love like we've done our babies in this room, that mothers and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers in this room. Isn't that amazing? How horrifying that a baby would die because there wasn't contact, human contact. There wasn't love or affirmation. And I think that's like the body of Christ, because we're a body. And are we dying because there's no relationship? Are we home alone? You as a believer in this room, you've been called to fellowship. The Bible says, Jesus said this to us. He said, wherever two or three are gathered, there am I. Now He's with you at home in your prayer closet. He's with you when you're in your car and you're worshiping God and you're listening to Caleb or whatever. But God is with you in a greater dimension when you gather together. Jesus was saying, when He said two or three are gathered in My name, there I am. In other words, we're better together. We do mission better together. I can do a little bit, but I can't do as much as I can with you today. You've heard the story. If I tried to pick up a building, this building, I couldn't do it. But if I got everybody at the four corners of the wall, in every corner, we tried to pick up this building beyond the foundations, maybe we could move it a little bit because we're together. We can move things that can't be done alone. And that's why you're meant for fellowship today. Are you anemic spiritually? Are you barely surviving spiritually? Where's your spiritual life right now? Because you're not plugged in and you're not part of a body. God needs you to be part of something that's been. You say, well, I don't like this church. Well, Irma and I know five other churches that we would love to get the number one draft pick if we sent you there. Amen. We send you there, we get two draft picks. Amen. I'm joking. Years ago, I said this, man, people left the church. This was years ago. And I go, man, what are we going to do? And when they left, you know what? All these people came in. I don't know why God does that. And they were, I mean, these were good people. And so I thought, And I almost thought, like, who wants to leave next? Because we got, anyway, I don't know. I mean, what I'm saying is be part, if this is your church, be part of it. Amen? Amen. Plug in. Be, let people know you. You know them. Don't be home alone. Don't be that guy. Amen. Be or that girl. Amen. Be part of the church if you're going to be part of it. Amen. Don't be your spiritual walk. You're meant to walk with people. Amen. Amen. You're meant. You're not meant to be sick in your spiritual walk. Could it be because you're not with people that are spiritually minded with you? Amen. And so thank God for it. Don't abandon the house. Amen. Be part of the house today. Oh, Pastor, you knew I was coming. It's Christmas, right? I had to come. Amen. But thank God you're here. Amen. You visit twice. Easter will be the next time, right? No. Man, why am I being mean? Why am I being so mean today? There was this, Jesus said this one time. He said, you know what? I'm not going to leave you alone, guys. The 12 men that followed so closely. I'm going to leave a helper with you. And in John chapter 14, he told his disciples that he was going to put somebody alongside, another person to be alongside of them to help them. But this person wouldn't be like Jesus. He was going to live in their hearts. And it was called this. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. In other words, somebody that counselor, that comforter. And he will help you. And he will be with you forever. And somebody say the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit was going to be resident within you. And the world cannot accept him because it does not neither know, see him or know him, but you know him and he lives with you and he will be with you. Isn't that precious? Isn't that awesome? And listen to this. He says, I will not leave you as an orphan. Now an orphan either was a mother and father. They don't have a mother and father or they never knew that. But you know your father, right? Today, you're not going to be left as orphans. I will come to you. And on that day, you will realize I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And so the triune being, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, right there today. Amen. The disciples were worried, like, is the discipleship program over, Lord? We've been with you for 3 years. Is Bible college over with you? No, Jesus is saying, it's just the beginning, guys. There's going to be something within you. There's going to be a tiger in your tank that I'm going to put in you. It's going to explode and you're going to be able to witness and you're going to be able to reach people because the Holy Spirit's within your life today. Is it hard to keep the commandments of God when the Holy Spirit is within you? Somebody say no. Because you know the right things to do. And you love God so much that you're going to obey and know the will of God. That's not the will of God for my life, so I'm not going to do that on Friday night. I don't know why I mention Friday night all the time to you, Living Faith. But I have to be saying it for a reason. Give me a good amen. Amen. Maybe something happens on Friday night. Amen. The payday. Amen. Something happens. But you're going to obey God even on Friday. Give me a good amen. Amen. On payday. Give me a good amen. Yeah. Amen. Sunday was it? No, it's every day with Jesus, right? The discipleship experience that you have with God, the Holy Spirit, it begins now when you walk with God, right, everybody? The second thought is this. Are you staying with me today? Are you staying with me? Christ left his home to provide a new beginning. Shout, new beginning. New beginning. Through him, all things are made. Without him, nothing was made that can be seen or was made in heaven. And in him, somebody shout, life. Life. And that life extraordinary. Like most of you, all of us, I like presents. How about you? And there's a present right here for me that has been there since the first service. Amen. And I got a pen from Living Faith Church. Amen. Stolen from Living Faith Church. Amen. Give me a like all of us, we want that present, you know, under the tree. But what happens once you get it? Some of us use it all year long, right? We have that present. We can use it. But remember when you were a kid and you got that present, that G.I. Joe or whatever it might have been, you stopped playing with it after the third day or something, or it just became something you put on a shelf or it stayed. Or maybe you lost it. And we get older and we still want, man, if I had that house, that would be it. I'd finally get it. And you got the house. And you live in the neighborhood. You got the car. If I got that car, what happens when you get it? What happens afterwards? And I think we pursue presence under the tree or in life. If I got that relationship, if I got that girl, if I got that guy, and you got the guy, you married and you got it. What happens? We pursue these things on this earth, and God wants us to pursue Him. Right. Presence. Not presence under the tree, but the presence of God. We pursue the presence of God in our lives, and it changes our lives, and it gives us new beginnings over and over today. Amen. You desire something to satisfy your life, and we're not going to get it. I'm preaching, okay, to the church down the street. Y'all are looking at me kind of mean today. We desire, and it doesn't satisfy, or we get it, and it's not, you know, it grows old, or it breaks, and God is saying, I'm not going to break. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be new every morning. Amen. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to bring something to your life every morning that's new with the mercies of God. If you desire a new beginning in your marriage, listen to me. Pursue God. Because I promise you, when you pursue God, your husband gets better, lady. Your wife gets better. Amen? Amen. You get a new wife. What, really? No, you get a new wife, amen, in Jesus, amen. That guy got excited, almost fell out of his chair. Your health isn't right now. I promise you, that's a spiritual battle. The doctors may say you have this cholesterol thing, diabetes, that may be true on paper. But if you pursue God, you'll begin to honor God, and God will teach you the right things to eat. And the wrong, I can't eat cheeseburgers every day. Maybe I can have a cheat day one day, amen, a month. But God will even change your diet. He'll make you healthy, amen, if you pursue God, amen. I want a new career. I want a workplace. My boss is a jerk or this or that. Pursue God. God will change you before He changes your boss. He really will. Pursue God, amen. In Genesis, the beginning of a new beginning for mankind happened this way in the Message Bible. And at the time, God made the heavens and the earth. And before the grasses and the shrubs had all sprouted from the ground, God had not yet sent rain. Check that out, right? On the earth. It hadn't happened yet. There was no rain, no cloud, 50% chance of rain. The weatherman wasn't invented. Nor could anyone work the ground. It was all producing. So the whole earth was watered underneath by springs. Isn't that incredible? Springs. And so what that meant was, because the ground was like clay, God formed man from the dirt of the ground, from the clay of the ground. Are you being, can you be shaped by God today? Are you stubborn? Are you hard ground today that God he can't move in your life? The candidate for God moving in a new beginning is a man that is formed by God, because he can be made like clay before it hardens today. And look what he did. He blew within the nostrils, and the breath of life came into that man. And look, the man became a living soul. We're created in the image of God. And only you can worship God. A dog can't do that. A cat won't certainly do that, right? The cat will make you worship it. Amen? God has that ability because He's breathed into that you have the ability to lift your hands before a holy God and say, Lord, I'm not going to pursue the presence under the tree so much, as nice as they are, but I'm going to pursue you, God. Jesus is right here, right now. His presence is here. And we can honor Him right now. Come on, honor the one that died for our sins. Honor the one, because His presence is here. We honor You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. When was the last time that you saw a miracle before your very eyes? Yesterday, somebody said, amen. A living miracle. And you know what? You can do it right now at this very moment. Look at the person right next to you. Amen. Because that's a miracle. You're a miracle. Because if I heard your story along with my story, there was a time that somebody, the enemy, wanted to take us out, and God saved us. Amen. And there was a moment that you had a testimony and a rescue story that God saved you and God helped you, right, everybody? Amen. And all of us are living miracles in this room that God has redeemed and made us a trophy. So when Jesus died, your past died. When Jesus died, your sins died. When Jesus died, your hell died. When Jesus died, your captivity died. Amen. When Jesus died, your failure died. But when Jesus got up, your salvation came. Your deliverance came. Your healing came. Your light came. Your peace came. Your miracle came. Amen? Can somebody shout in the house, amen, my miracle is on the way right now. Yeah, my miracle. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. The miracle is on the way. Amen. Christ came and he left his home that you could have a new beginning. Amen. Thank God for heaven's hero, Jesus. Right, everybody? Number three is this. Here we go. Last fill in the blank. Amen. I made it so easy for you today. Amen. You might want to come back next week. It just gets better. Christ left his home so he could leave the light on for us. Amen. I'm glad that the light's on for me at home. Amen. Yeah. They're the light of Christ. Amen. We have to follow the light so we can follow the directions of God in the dark places in life. Follow the light of God so you can get your way out, so you can see your way out today. The sun comes out every day. Sometimes it's cloud covered, just like in our lives. There's clouds that block it. Sometimes it's a gloomy day, spiritually, in the emotional realm, in all of our lives today. The sun comes out every day. And when it's bright and shiny, you know, you can either stay in the house, stay in a cave, or you can enjoy the benefits of the sun by walking out and saying, oh, it's such a nice day. It's not August in San Antonio when it's going to burn me, but it's December. And we can barbecue because we're in San Antonio in December and in January. This is kind of like the promised land, except when it becomes hell in August, right, everybody? So the sun shines on everybody. It shines on you and me, but you have to make the choice to go outside and enjoy the sun. Jesus is just like that. He leaves the light on for you, but you have to come out of your cave. You got to come out and make the choice. I'm not going to be depressed anymore. I'm not going to get prescribed with the thought of that my life is going to be minimized, or what they said about me is not true, or they lied. I'm going to come out and face the truth of God in my life and get what God has for me today. In the life that was the light of all mankind, that light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it today. That's what God does with the light in your life today. But you have to receive it today. You have to make the choice to get to the places of light today. The Word of God, church, amen. The place of intimacy with your family and love and prayer and having the altars that you do at your house today, amen. In John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus shouted to the crowd. Now, what I notice about Jesus, when it says something like this, he didn't always shout. Jesus would talk. He didn't have a PA system. He didn't have a mic. But he had to talk loud, especially when he talked to multitudes of people. So valleys and amphitheaters that are made by hills and this sort of thing, that had to be our Jesus. He had to use what was around him to communicate with people, masses, groups of people. Most of the time, he was whispering into 12 men's lives today. But he talked to a crowd this time, and so he had to shout. And he shouted these words, so it was very important to him. He got something rising up within him. Amen. Would you shout these words with me? Amen. That Jesus said, would you? Would you do that with me? Amen. So on three, Jesus shouted to the crowds. And three here. For when. Now, wait. What? I don't, you know, you're not shouting because I've driven by your house and the windows were rolled up. Amen. And you didn't, that would have been me. The Holy Spirit's pulling up to your driveway. We want to hear a shout right now, right, everybody? Let's read it out loud, not out soft, in other words. Can we go up a decimal at least? On three. One, two, three. Jesus shouted to the crowds.
For when you see me, you will see the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine into the dark world, so that all who are trusting me will no longer remain in the dark.
Amen. They heard that all the way in Alamo Heights. Amen, I believe. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. You did good, Living Faith. That worked out. Amen. I don't know sometimes what it is to face certain things that people go through even after 20 years of being a pastor. I've seen a lot, but there's some stuff I still walk into that I have to be real honest with people. And I tell them automatically because I don't want to know, like I know it all. And I go, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here. Amen. And you as a an extension of this church. And as you help me, one precious man told me, a mature man in our congregation, said, people keep asking me to pray for their healing. And I have to think that that man has a gift of healing if people are asking him to pray for him. And he's humbled by it, but sometimes he doesn't know what to do. Well, now he does, because I'm commissioning him right now to pray for people and to help people. And he does that. He's a man of God in our church. And you can continue to do that also. You're licensed to pray for people as a disciple of Jesus and to heal people and heal the sick. And so when people tell me of something that they've gone through, and I don't want to mention the unimaginable here, or don't do that one, because that would be too much for me to bear. I just have to sit with them, and I sit with them, and that's my understanding. I don't understand what they're going through, but I understand what they're going through because I'm sitting with them. And then I offer a prayer. And that's more than, that's the gift of God right now. Do you understand that today? Amen. That's the light of God that comes into their darkness. Just your presence is enough today. My friend that I prayed for last Sunday morning with you as a congregation that was going through the trial of his life, I got to visit him on Monday, his family. There's a psychiatric ward on the 7th floor of University Hospital. And my friend, the man that I knew, that I'd grown up with in a church, another church that I've been to and been part of in San Antonio, wasn't the same man that I saw on the 7th floor in the visitation room. That man had begun a business. That man has a house and children and a career and very well. But in a moment, he wanted to take his life, so much so that he ended up on the 7th floor in the psychiatric ward. So I walk in and sit with him, and we cry with each other, because I know that his life isn't meant to be. He's not to be there. And by the way, he did get home. He's at home. When he walks in to the visitation room, he has a blanket on, just a blanket over him, because he can't have a coat, because you can do things with a coat that can end your life. He doesn't have any shoes. He has socks on, because you can take your shoes off and hurt people and hurt yourself, so they don't put any shoes on either. I knew the belt was going to be off. He doesn't have a belt on. And we talk and we cry. I cry with him and laugh with him. And I tell him, I said, you don't belong in here. You need to get home. Your family's waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. And I said, when I was depressed, I'm not facing anything that you're facing. I had to practice what I preach. And I read the Word of God. I opened up the Bible when I was depressed, and I force-fed myself the Word of God, and it took me out of my darkness. And so he stands up, and he tells the nurse, because there's a monitor, the nurse is in there with us, and he says, is there a Bible? I said, do I need to bring you a Bible? And he says, is there a Bible? He said, they're at the front desk. All you have to do, the New Testaments are there. And he says, the last thing I saw him was him, after I hugged him, was him going out the door saying, I'm going to go get a Bible and I'm going to read the Bible. See the light of God in all of our lives, no matter if you're there or if you're somewhere else in life, it will give light to you. It will help you today. The Word of God being read to you today, and you're in church, it's going to help you this week, because you put God first. But on Monday, open it up, because you live a devoted life as a follower of Christ. Amen? You read the Bible. In the Bible, Jesus told the story where people didn't get rebuked for being far away from him, where people didn't get told off and say, I've been waiting for you to come and apologize to me. Jesus told these three stories of these three things in Luke chapter 15, of a lost coin, lost sheep, and then of a lost son. And he called them the prodigal son. And so there's this prodigal in the Bible that speaks of this young man, the youngest son, two sons. And he says, Dad, I want all my inheritance. And most of you know the story because you've grown up in church. I want my inheritance right now. Give it to me right now. I want to live away from you, the authority, and you guys stay here. I'm going to go and use my money the way I want to use it. And so the younger son gets the money. When Jesus told the story, that was his motion picture. That was his Home Alone, because they didn't have movies back then. And the Jewish hearers that were hearing that saying, how dare that young man get his money? It was something of honor to have an inheritance, like it is kind of today, but even more so to the Jewish culture. It was legacy. It was something that they would have an inheritance. So the younger son takes off, leaves the family farm, goes and lives it up. He's the type of guy, drinks on the house, I'm buying. Look at all of the, and he's living it up. And he has a bunch of friends because the money hasn't run out, right? All the money, you know, he ends up, troubles time comes to him, and he ends up on this pig farm. And Jewish people don't eat pork. So they're not going to eat pork tamales with us, right? And so he winds up doing the very thing that's against. And the Jewish hearer was hearing Jesus tell this story and says, no way. He's eating pork. He's working with pigs, those filthy animals. And he's, you know, and the Bible says that that younger son comes to his senses and goes, man, I'm going to go back home, man. It's a lot better. He says, I'll just become a hired hand. And he gets a rehearsal speech ready as he's walking. I'm going to tell my father how sorry I am. He'll just hire me. I'll work in the family farm because it's going to be much better than what I was facing. And as he's far away, the daddy is waiting for his son. And he sees him coming up over the hill. And it says that the dad, Papa, started running towards his son. Powerful story. And I can see the Jewish audience at Jesus. He's really doing that. He's running because old men should not run. Right? Because old people, when they run, they get hurt. That's why old people walk. We walk everywhere. Amen? You start getting to that point in your life, I'm going to walk. Amen? I'm not going to run anymore. I'm going to walk because it hurts too much. Right? Oh, y'all ain't with me. Amen? So this older man, a father, runs towards his son, and it was so undignified. And God is undignified when it comes to the love of his children. He'll get all into your grill loving you. That's how God is, right? God love. And so all it takes is for you to make your move, and God will move. When you move, God. But you got to move. Move towards God, because God will move. And the beautiful story is, there's this other son, and he's older, and he's a guy that never left home. He's always doing the right thing. He's in church every Sunday. He didn't miss church. And he's working in the farm, and he hears this big pachanga thing going on, this big party. Man, a DJ is playing the best music. The younger son actually just changed his clothes. He got not those poor beggar clothes on. They put a royal robe on him. They put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. And the younger idiot son, he's dancing his favorite song because the DJ's playing it. And here comes the older brother after he's been working all day. And he doesn't know his brother's home. All he hears is this big party music going on. He goes, what is that? He goes, is that my younger idiot brother that took all the money? Is he dancing? Are those his stupid friends that came over? He's like, he can't believe it. And he tells his dad, he said, Dad, I've been with you all these years, and you've never thrown me a party. You've never done that for me. And this is what Jesus says in the story, how it goes. Are y'all with me? Amen. And so he says, the father said, my son, you've always been by my side, and everything I have is yours. How many know when you're connected to God, you don't go without? God is that father. Don't worry. Stay in your lane, bro. Stay in your lane, right? In other words, don't worry about somebody else. You walk with God, right? And it's only right to celebrate like this and be overjoyed, because this brother of yours that was once dead and gone, we didn't know where he was at. But now he's alive, and he's back with us. And he was lost, but now he is. And Almighty God is just waiting for somebody, listen to me, to come home. Because that's the sort of God we serve. Kevin meets this older neighbor named Mr. O'Malley. And Mr. O'Malley is the scary guy on the block. There's always one guy on the block like that, right? Don't mess with that old man because he'll kill you, right? He'll pull a gun out or something like that. But that's the man in the neighborhood. And so Kevin sees him at church and they begin to talk because church is a place of hope. And he begins to dialogue with him about separation and people that need reunited. And you kind of know it, but look, it's a powerful scene. Let's watch it together right now before we finish up.
You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
I came to hear my granddaughter sing. And I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
The basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it. And he won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad, especially around the holidays.
I don't know.
Just give it a shot, for your granddaughter anyway. I'm sure she misses you. And the presents.
You better run along home where you belong. You think about what I said, all right?
Okay. What about you?
Me?
Yeah, you and your son.
We'll see what happens. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Home Alone could have a message like that, right? Forgiveness of redemption of maybe you need to write the letter or send the text. Precious mom, it might be where a son hasn't talked to her today. Maybe she's reaching back. You do what you have to do and let God do. It could be the prayer that you just pray. The most honorable thing that you could do and forgiveness towards persons right now is just to begin to pray that God would bless your enemy. God would bless that person that's far away from you today. You might not feel like praying for them, but ask God to help you pray for them because it's the honorable thing to do. Amen. God has a redemption for all of us in this room today. And the light of God would come to us if we pursue Him today. A new beginning would happen. You'll never be home alone today. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, you left your home, Jesus, by sending Jesus with God with skin on today, that we would never have to be alone. The Holy Spirit would reside within us today. You're a Christian in this room today. I just want to bless you today. You have an assignment. You're supposed to do what God's called you to do. Amen. To live for Him, to be the light of God, to bring understanding in the situations where there's darkness. You have the light of God. You bring in light to people's lives today. Simply by sitting with people, by praying with people, and by blessing people today. Thank you, Father. Touch this church as they continue to live out the Great Commission and do what you called us to do. We may not be able to go into all the world, God, but we can go across the street to a neighbor that needs you, God, to our family that needs someone in our family that needs some hope, a phone call, a text. Do what Jesus would do. Amen. I thank you, God, that you're going to do that, a great mission within the people of Living Faith right now. Thank you, Lord. As I continue to pray, you're in this room today, and you were touched by God, and you realize that you're far away from God right now, and you want to come close. I want to pray for you today. I won't do it by embarrassing you, by calling you up, by making you stand up. I'm going to note your hand right where you're at. And if I note your hand, I'm just going to say I'll pray for you right where you're at. That will be your altar, your chair. We'll pray. You'll pray a prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer from the platform. You'll repeat the prayer. If that's you in this room, would you lift your hand slightly and say, I need to say yes to Jesus. You're saying yes to Jesus right now. God bless you. Somebody else, making sure you can put it down, my brother. I saw your hand. God bless you, my sister. You're a blessing to Irma and I. We love you. Somebody else. Yes, God bless you. Yes, you're a blessing to me. About three people making sure right now. Yeah. Four. Yes, sir, I see your hand. You're a man of God. Five. Yes, sis, I see your hand. You're my sister. Somebody else. For the benefit of the five or six hands, amen, we pray this prayer together. All the sinners that are saved by grace, you that lifted your hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. You're making confession, not before us. You're not joining the church. You're joining the family of God. God is running towards you right now. Amen. So let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, save me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. I need a new beginning. May the light of Jesus invade every part of my home, which is my heart. Thank you, God. I'll live for you. I'm changing directions. I'm following Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, celebrate new life at Living Faith. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of the Lord right now? Just extend your hands a little bit above your lap. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you His peace during the season. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There's a connect card in front of you. If you lifted your hand, just tell me, I rededicated my life. Irma and I get those. We pray for you every week. If you have a prayer request, we get those also. We pray for you every week. There's prayer requests that you may have, we want to make sure that we're with you. There's a connect card in front of you. Make sure you reach for it. Take that in your hand today. The legacy offering at the conclusion of our service is happening right now. We're going to go ahead and receive our tithe and offering. Worship team, would you come up? You've been so, what a blessing. Let's give our worship team a hand as they come. Bless them. We're so grateful for men and women that serve the Lord every week, and they're a blessing to us, and thank God, amen. We're a better church because you're with us today. There's several ways that you can give at Living Faith Church. You'll see them on the screen. If you do the text to give, it's pretty incredible. It's 77977, right? In the keyword, it can be all caps or it can be all lowercase. If you want to check that out on a lower screen, it'll give you some prompts to follow through if you do it for the very first time. But punch in Living Faith on the keyword, and it takes you through Push Pay, which is a secure way of doing giving. We do it all the time in our family, and we might even do it today if we did bring our checkbook with us, the old-fashioned way. But there's several ways to give. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray for the tithe and offering. Let's ask the Lord if you'd hold it in your hand. Heavenly Father, would you bless the tithe and the offering? And those that brought their legacy gift, God, I bless them. That special couple that sent theirs through the mail from Florida, God, because they watch us online. Bless them, God. They made sure it got here right on time. We are now doing that. We're deciding on what to give. Maybe we did that yesterday. We're doing it right now. But God, we purpose to be givers, not takers. Thank you for the generosity in this church. It outlives us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you rise. Amen. As you stand up and we sing the songs of the Lord and we worship God in our giving.
You guys want to have some fun on the way out of here? Sleep in heavenly peace.
way.